Boss, ain't you going to bed?
Not right now.
Ain't you planning on going to bed in the near future?
No.
You ever going to bed?
No.
Well, I ain't sleepy either.
Good, now have a drink.
You're no match for my brains.
You're that smart.
Let me put it this way. Have you ever heard of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates?
Yes.
Morons.
In that case, I challenge you to a battle of wits.
To the death, I accept.
Good. Then pour the wine.
It's The Wine Crush, the show that's all about the grape. And now, here are your hosts for The Wine Crush, Laura Lawson.
I'm the pretty one. He's the ugly one.
And Michael Ambrose.
Oh, no. Now I have to act normal.
And welcome to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we welcome you to the show that's all about the grape and all its glory and everything possibly in your glass. Michael, how's your day going? You're grinning from ear to ear over there.
Oh, it's going wonderfully. We're about to open a restaurant down in Savannah, and I haven't had more fun in my life getting certificates of occupancy and getting liquor licenses and counting chairs and tables and getting 80 staff members. And so that's the kind of week I'm having. And also putting a wine list together, 500 selections, 4,000 bottles. It's a pretty daunting task.
Well, from the sound of it, I guess you've been certified then.
Yeah, certified crazy, that's for sure. How about you, Laura?
Oh, it's just been one of those weeks that's absolutely insane, but it has been wonderful. And that in itself brings us to the topic of today's show, because it is finally fall.
Absolutely.
It is finally time to change the wardrobe, put the white pants up, to find the closed-toed shoes, get some boots, and have some fun.
Okay, let's go.
All right. Well, that's what our show's about today, is we are talking about fall, the wines, all the events, all the pairings. And to do so today, we have a lot of help. We have Lisa and Steve Ragusik. They head up the Pinot Days 2008 in Chicago, which is, of course, it's an amazing fall event.
Right.
And also, we have Debbie Giaquindo. She is director at Hudson Valley Wine Country.
Oh, that's up in New York.
Yes, yeah, so we're going to actually go above the Mason-Dixon and talk about something that's not on the Pacific.
I ain't never been there before.
I know, and it shows. No wonder you're getting entirely too at home in Savannah.
That's it.
But no, Michael, I know that this has to be the best time of year for you. You're such a big Burgundy fan. You love all the big reds. I mean, what are you drinking? What are you doing?
You know, I have been drinking lots of Pinot Noir, checking out a lot of them, but I have found a little secret and will tell people that there's a wine that I normally poo-poo because it's not normally very good, but I have found one particular vintage that's great.
So let me get this straight. You're going to recommend a wine that you use poo-poo and you think is not good, but you're going to recommend it to our listeners.
Well, it's a particular vintage, and it's the 2003 vintage. If you remember, in France, that was the really hot year where all the people died. Well, there was one little thin wine that they make over there, and it came out really beautifully. And it's a La Rose Trinidad. I'm sure you've heard of it.
I have heard of it, but our listeners probably have not. Spell it for them.
Oh, well, that's a great challenge. It's LaroseTrinidadon.
For our loyal listeners, that will be spelled correctly on the website if you want to check it out.
There you go. And it really tastes great. It's got enough aging in it so that it's picked up some complexity. It's got enough fruit. Flavors that they're just going really beautifully right now, and you can probably pick it up for $18, $17.
There you go. I like it. You're still on your quantity, not quality. I see you're drinking less expensively these days.
And there's no doubt about it. I'll tell you, my pocketbook is hurting severely over the past couple of months. Now, how about you? What are you drinking?
I actually have been thinking about you a lot this week.
Really?
Because I have strayed from my usual types of inexpensive, value-driven wines that all of our listeners like to hear about.
Uh-huh. To what?
I had the luxury and the adventure to go out to California a couple weeks ago and do harvest, and we'll talk about that some other time.
Cool.
But when I was out there, I forgot about one of my favorite wineries, and unfortunately, it does fall in that boutique category. It is one of those wines that you can't find, impossible to get, and once you do get it, you're going to pay an arm and leg for it. However, you get started on it and you can't stop.
Okay, and so give us a hint. What is it?
There is a small little winery in Napa Valley called Plump Jack.
I know it.
And they do reserve Chardonnay, they do some Sauvignon Blanc, but their reserve Chardonnay is simply to die for.
I see.
Well, it is the kind of bottle, coupled with the kind of weeks I've had, that you want to open up the bottle, get a very long straw, and just find someplace warm in front of a fire to sit and consume.
I see. You know, there's another interesting thing about Plump Jack, if people can find it, and that's they were one of the first American wineries to actually put a six-pack of their most expensive wine together, three bottles with that were corked finish, three bottles that were screw-top. That was about, what, 10 or 12 years ago?
12 years ago.
And now they're finding out that the screw-top bottles are aging better than the cork finish bottles.
It's amazing. And for those of you who are going to make the journey out to California and go to Napa Valley, I encourage you stopping by the winery. And when you do, you have the opportunity to pay a fee and to taste the difference between the cork finish bottles and the screw cap bottles. And for those of you who have been, in tribute to Michael, poo-pooing the screw caps, it will certainly open your eyes as to aging potential with these wines.
Really? So what did you find?
Honestly?
Yeah.
The Chardonnay.
Okay. So, but did you taste the difference between the cork finish and the screw top?
I did. And when you're looking at it, it's same fruit forward. You tasted everything else. Honestly, I thought the cork finish bottles tasted better.
Really?
I did.
Okay. Now, that's not coming from the factory, though, right?
That is not coming from the factory. That is straight
okay.
from, yeah.
Wow, so, that's interesting. Cool.
So, all right. Enough of our drinking habits and enough of what's going on. We need to hear from you. So, you can email us at info@winecrush.com, or you can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1.
Right.
And right now, we have an email from one of you. This is from Steven, who owns a restaurant in upstate New York. Laura and Michael. Notice how my name's first.
Yeah, okay.
I have a small family-owned restaurant in upstate New York. We specialize in Italian cuisine. Great shock there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering what fall wine should I be on the lookout for to serve? Michael.
Well, Stephen, I think there's one thing that becomes fairly obvious, and that is that Italy makes about as much wine as any place in the world, and there are tremendous great wines that are coming out of there from two particular regions. One's the Piedmont, where you get Barolos and Barbarescos. They're big, strong, heavily tannin, coffee-type tasting wines. And then you've got the wines from Tuscany. The Chianti is probably one of the easiest things to drink. All the way up through the Super Tuscans, which are basically Chiantis on supercharge.
I think Michael has hit the nail on the head for every wine that you find in most Italian restaurants. But I think this time of year, people are looking for something, I don't know, a little fresher, a little more subtle, something they may have not drunk over and over again. And going to one of those regions that Michael mentioned, I would look for something called a Barbera di Asti.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that is Barbera from Asti.
Right.
And it's great because it can really encompass everything from the things that people like in Merlot to the things that people like in Sangiovese.
It's kind of like a Pinot Noir a little bit.
And even has the finesse and the fruit of a Pinot.
Right.
For those of you who are red wine novices and are looking for something really, really cool to like test your teeth on, Barbera di Asti, there is a small, well, not that small, winery called Michele Chiarlo. And they do a great value Barbera di Asti for you points nerds. It usually scores 89 or 90 points. And it is just one of the best little wines to drink this time of year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's no doubt about it. They're very tasty little wines.
Well, Stephen, I hope that answers your question at least a little bit or gives you a little bit more insight. Imagine Michael suggesting you have Chianti at an Italian restaurant. Go figure. But we are heading on with some more exciting things coming up in this hour, so stay tuned.
I like to think about the life of wine. Yeah. How it's a living thing. I like to think about what was going on the year the grapes were growing. How the sun was shining, if it rained. I like to think about all the people who tended and picked the grapes. And if it's an old wine, how many of them must be dead by now? I like how wine continues to evolve. Like, if I opened a bottle of wine today, it would taste different than if I'd opened it on any other day. Because a bottle of wine is actually alive. And it's constantly evolving and gaining complexity.
The Wine Crush. Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has seven models that offer an EPA-estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better.
from HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
So you think you're a Team 48 fan, right?
Try me.
How many Sprint Cup races have Jimmy?
229.
How many did
34
they?
34 wins.
Where was Jimmy?
El Cajon, California.
When was he?
9-17-75.
Where was Chad?
Rockport, Illinois.
I'm sorry, what?
Rockport, Illinois.
Rockport, Illinois? No, my friend. Chad Knaus was born in Rockford, Illinois. You call yourself a fan.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today.
This is Jimmy Johnson, and I want to thank all of the Lowe's Team 48 fans for cheering us on over the years.
Lowe's, let's build something together.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey, Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide. Side.
Look for the bare necessities, the simple bare necessities.
Have a banana.
Eating well. Have two bananas. And playing.
Come on, Baloo.
Go together like best friends.
You better believe it.
With the food pyramid, the bare necessities of living healthy are easy.
That bring the bare necessities of life.
It gives you just the right amount of grains, vegetables, fruits, milk, and meats and beans.
Crazy.
So eat right.
You eat ants?
You're gonna love the way they tickle.
Be active.
I'll move. That's it.
And don't forget to have fun.
You're lots of fun, Baloo.
That's the way to be the best.
You're all right, kid.
At anything you do.
Yeah, man.
You can go to mypyramid.gov to play some games and find out more.
Me and Baloo, we've got things to do.
This has been a message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture and the Ag Council.
Son, I want you home by 10, all right?
I know.
Hold on. Listen, we need to talk about drinking. You know how I feel about alcohol.
Yeah, I know.
Seriously, you're way too young to drink. I know some kids are drinking, but you're my kid. And just because they drink doesn't mean you have to.
I know.
I mean, you're still growing. You're still developing. You may think you can handle it, but you're not a grown-up yet. It's dangerous.
I know, okay?
Teenagers know everything. So talk about underage drinking before they know it all. Before they're teens.
Listen, when you drink, it screws up your judgment. I don't want you getting hurt. You could make some serious mistakes.
I know, I know.
Listen to me. This is real.
I know, okay? I know.
Start talking before they start drinking. And keep talking. To learn more about the dangers of underage drinking and what to say to your kids, go to stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
It's the Wine Crush.
I was thinking about you.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are giving our toast to fall and talking about fall wines and, most importantly, great events that you can attend during the fall that are tribute to wine.
No doubt about it.
And our next guests are here to talk about the Chicago Pinot Days. And this is going to be held November 14th and 15th at Navy Pier in Chicago. And it's a great example of all the great festivals and the big widespread events that you can get to help you foster your love for wine.
Absolutely.
So here at the Wine Crush, we'd like to welcome Lisa and Steve Ragusik.
Hey, Lisa and Steve, how are you?
Good, Laura. Mike, how are you today?
We're doing great. How about you?
Yeah, we can't complain. Thank you very much for having us on the show.
Oh, we're happy to have you. Anyone who can put together an event the scale of what you're doing, my heart goes out to you. After years in the wholesale business, I've been putting trade shows together, and I swear every gray hair I have is just from those little events. I can't imagine doing what you're doing.
Well, on top of that, we take the challenge a little bit further, and we try to extend these events out throughout the continental United States. We had Pinot Days last year in New York City, last April, as well as now in Chicago. On our second year. So you can imagine how difficult these events are to put on in the first place, but then trying to do them from 2,000 miles away just adds to my dedication to Grecian formula.
That's great. Hey, listen, Steve and Lisa, I've got a question for you. Why did you pick Pinot Noir?
Good question.
Great question, Mike. You know, Pinot Noir is the noble grape. Everybody loves the grape, and the grape many of the times can either dazzle you or break your heart. And as you may or may not know, its genesis is in Burgundy.
Right.
And people consider Burgundy wines, when they are at their best, to be the finest wines that are made. And, you know, North America always had a real challenge with the grape. The people of France have been doing and making the wine for over 400 years. In California, really, our wine industry is 40 years old. So they were having challenges that you would expect to have, being that they were at the genesis of developing the industry. They were finding they couldn't find the right location to make the wines. They couldn't find the right viticulture techniques. And it really wasn't until the last 10 years that some of the producers started to produce high-quality Pinot Noir. But eventually, being that it's a noble grape, everybody tends to migrate towards what can be the finest. So with, you know, new viticulture practices and then passionate people that were really wrapped around the grape, you found that it really heightened the quality, and Pinot became more and more interested. Lisa and I have been doing events for the last 20 years, and although we always had a desire to do a Pinot Noir event, there was really never a market there for it. And really in the last 5 years, that market started to develop here in Oregon and California. So we decided to put on a festival in 2001. And being the fortuitous types, we were lucky enough to be able to announce our event 2 weeks before Sideways came out.
That's good.
I was definitely going to ask if Sideways played any part in helping this Pinot passionate festival take off.
Oh, are you kidding? It blew the doors off our
No doubt.
We expected a couple hundred people. We had 1,500 the first year.
Wow.
I love the fact that you'll admit that Sideways blew the doors off. We talked to a couple winemakers who are out of their Pinot Noirs now, and they say, oh, no, the movie had nothing to do with it. It was my personal craft. So.
Well, I'd like to give them credit. I want to add to what Steve said a little bit about why Pinot. You know, Steve talks about the Pinot industry here being about 40 years old. There was a time when lots of Pinots, although Pinot can offer something different to everybody, it's a very nuanced grape. It's a lighter grape. And in the last 10 years, because we have so many talented winemakers who are willing to take the challenge and make Pinot, the style of Pinot has this wide variety now, from modern to traditional, that really truly has something to offer everyone. There's a Pinot for everybody. You know, there's a Zinfandel-like Pinot, if I dare say that.
Yeah.
The lighter ones, more Burgundian, et cetera. So really, it is a versatile grape that you can pair with pretty much any food or drink alone.
Or drink alone, often, like yes. Michael does on a regular basis.
Yeah, every night.
It is truly a chameleon-like grape. Well, for our listeners, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are speaking with Lisa and Steve Ragusich. They are the founders of Pinot Days, and they have an event coming up in Chicago at Navy Pier on November 15th. Tell our listeners about why in Chicago. Why are we doing this there, and why are you doing it now?
Chicago is such a great area. I mean, first of all, to do these events, especially an event like Pinot Noir, which is not like Cabernet and doesn't have a wide audience, you just need to have a mass of people, a density of people. And there's only a few cities that you can do this event in. And New York, Chicago, Atlanta, Dallas are our demographic. But what makes Chicago unique and why Chicago is really embraced the event is that there's such a strong contingency of people out there that are really looking for great food and great wine these days. I mean, you know, I've traveled all over through business, and really I think these days that Chicago probably has the most exciting and innovative restaurant scene in the country right now. I mean, a lot of the innovative chefs you'll find are settling down in Chicago. And so with that, if that's generating an interest in people trying to seek out new and innovative cuisine, they're going to do the same with wine. And so Chicago really kind of aligns itself with Pinot Noir in that people really aren't looking just for kind of the old traditional mainstay wine. They're really looking for something new, something exciting, something that's very food friendly. And Pinot is the perfect match for that.
Oh, I couldn't agree more.
I agree with you. And being the foodie in the crowd, I was going to actually ask the question, don't you think Pinot Noir goes better with the foods and the cuisines than Cab does? Say again.
Yeah, go ahead, Michael. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just asking. I have always thought of Pinot Noir as being a much better food wine than even Cabernet Sauvignon.
Absolutely. And a lot of that is because of its diversity. Pinot Noir, you can't really define Pinot Noir by one particular style. When people ask, what does Pinot Noir best pair with which type of food, you really can't answer that because it pairs, depending on which wine you're picking from which area, either in California or Oregon or Burgundy, it'll match with any food. It'll match with salmon, Petrolli sole, it'll match with a big, hearty ribeye steak.
Right.
And it matters which decision you make. And there's no other variety of grape that you can say that about. You add on top of that these days what some of the people are doing in the wineries with the wine, and as Lisa mentioned before, you could even now take a glass of Pinot and sit out in the backyard on a nice hot summer day and really just sip it as you're watching the kids play. And that was something that you never would have thought that you would do just 10 years ago. So I think it's versatility. And it makes it the perfect and defines it as a food-friendly grape.
In closing with all this, I want y'all to define a statement that y'all often make. It's called Pinot People and Their Passion. Explain that to our listeners in 30 words or less. I don't know.
Okay. So what makes our event different, the November 15th event at Navy Pier, you're going to meet the winemakers. People who know how to make wine and want to make a bunch of money doing it are not going to pick Pinot Noir. It is the heartbreak grape. It is a tough grape to grow. People who choose it do it because they love it. They have a vision of what it ought to be in the bottle, and they give themselves over to it. Having said that, they have stories to tell. They care about what's in the bottle. It's their baby, so to speak.
That's what we like to hear, when people can actually claim something as their baby, kind of like y'all have done with the Chicago Navy Pier event coming up. Well, Lisa
Absolutely.
And Steve, thank you all very, very much for being part of the Wine Crush today. Hopefully, if we get a chance and we drag you down south, we might actually get you in the studio for a change.
Oh, we'd love it.
We would love to see you.
Well, guys, thank you all very, very much. And for those of you in the area around Chicago, we encourage all of you, step out and go see Navy Pier.
So, we won the Cup in 06, then we won again in 07, so naturally me, Jimmy, Chad, and the guys, we're really happy. And, of course, we've had
What's this we? We won in 06, we won in 07. What, are you part of Lowe's Team 48?
Yeah.
Become an official member of the Team Lowe's Racing Fan Club. Just log in at www.lowesracing.com and sign up today. You'll get the club's free track record magazine, members-only discounts, weekly club emails, and lots more.
This is Jimmy Johnson. Looking forward to having you on the team.
Lowe's. Let's build something together.
Z-Max. It helps your car, truck, motorcycle, or boat save gas and last longer. The secret of Z-Max is micro-lubrication. Z-Max penetrates deep into the metal of your engine and drivetrain where regular oil can't. Z-Max reduces heat and friction, dissipates carbon buildup, restores power, and reduces fuel consumption. Z-Max maintains mileage in your new car and improves mileage in your older car. It works. Log on to Z-Max.com to find a Z-Max retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
What would you do if you had to choose between the buffalo and the giraffes? Between a flower or an elephant? What would you choose? What if you had to decide between a 100-year-old tree and a 1,000,000-year-old beach. Between drinking clean water or breathing clean air. Would you make the right choice? Would there be a right choice? Now there's a way to help. Not just one, but all these things. EarthShare, the world's leading environmental groups working together. It's one choice we can all live with.
This ad sponsored by Ad Council and EarthShare.
When I have an asthma attack, I feel scared. It's like tiny nails in the air poke my lungs.
I start to cough.
Sometimes my parents have to take me to the hospital.
Today, one out of 13 children suffer from some form of asthma, accounting for nearly one-third of all emergency room visits.
I feel like I'm choking.
It's kind of like an elephant is on my chest. A little whistle sound comes out when I breathe.
But while your child may suffer from asthma, asthma doesn't have to make your child suffer. There are simple ways you can prevent your child's next attack. To learn more, call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS. That's 1-866-662-8822. Log on to www.noattacks.org or call your doctor. Because even one attack is one too many.
I feel like a fish with no water.
Brought to you by the EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Melting polar ice was a dirty look. Shrinking glaciers, a nudge. Dying forests, they were a tap on the shoulder. We got a finger in our chest from the rising sea level. And a sharp poke in the ribs from recent wildfires in Alaska. Then dying coral reefs and eroding coastlines pushed us. Hard. The drowned polar bears, that was a shove. Melting permafrost, that was a slap. Rising ocean temperatures and extreme weather, an uppercut. Then record-breaking heat waves hit us right where it hurts. Has it occurred to anyone that maybe the Earth is trying to get our attention?
We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution before it's too late. To find out how, go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
The Wine Crush.
You ain't what please me. Look like I please me. Mid-Elderberry wine.
Welcome back to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And we are continuing our journey along the vine and talking about grapes and the great grapes of fall.
Yes, indeed.
So, we usually wait to the bottom to do this, but I think we have a lot of fun today. We have your vintage vibe.
Okay, Laura, let's not keep us in suspenders.
Okay.
What is it?
In suspenders. Please keep your suspenders on, Michael. We are looking for the year in which Washington played Miami in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
We are looking for the year that CDs were introduced.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We are looking for the year that Karen Carpenter passed away. And most importantly, the year that the movie The Big Chill was released.
Wow, that was the year you were born.
Aren't you kind? You just got brownie points in my book.
Oh, good. All right.
Well, no, we had to do the year of The Big Chill because when you think of fall, you think of the movie, you think of the whole scene where they're tossing the football, they're in the kitchen, they're cooking. It's just the quintessential
That's
fall
right.
movie.
And chill has come.
All right. We encourage our listeners, reach out to us. Let us know what you're thinking. You can call us at 877-4-CRUSH-1. Or you can email us at info@winecrush.com. But before we go to the phone lines, I have the perfect news item so far in this show.
Lay it on me.
All right. Well, we talked to a gentleman. We had the email from the restaurateur in New York.
Right, the Italian restaurant.
And now we've talked a little bit about Chicago and the Fall Festival coming up.
All right.
So here is the perfect news item. It comes from the Wine Spectator. Fans of the much-beloved HBO series The Sopranos. Of course, all of us would love to see that show come back.
Yep, no doubt.
We need to find out what happened to Tony, his family, everything that was going
Tony,
on.
Tony, yeah. I know.
Anyway, so fans of The Sopranos are now going to be very, very fortunate because they can go out and buy wine. There is a company called Unfilter, It's called, making wines called the Soprano Wines.
Soprano Wines. Okay.
Soprano Wines. All They're produced under a licensing agreement between HBO and the Vesuvio Wine Import Company.
Hmm.
And of course, for fans of the show, they realized that was Artie Bucco's restaurant in the TV series. Each one of these wines comes from one of three family-run wineries in Italy. And Unfiltered, the company who's producing them, recommends serving them with the Italian cold cut Capicolo. Okay. It's better known as Gabagool.
Gabagool, okay.
And all those of us who are fans of the show obviously heard that a lot.
Indeed we did. There's no doubt about it.
So, even though we don't have our hits anymore with Soprano, you can certainly take a hit off their glass of wine.
Okay.
All right. I had to get my pun in. If I don't get puns in, I'm not happy.
Yeah. That one kills me, kind of like Tony Soprano.
Oh, you slay me, man. You slay me. All right. We have had enough punning around for this point, and now let's let you talk so we can at least get something wise on the show.
Okay.
All right. We've got Rex with Virginia on the line. Rex, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Lauren. Hi, Michael. Love your show.
Thank you, Rex.
I have a question about wine labels. I want to know if you can trust them. If a label says it's 100% Chardonnay, how do I know I'm not getting a blend?
Well, it depends on... Labels are so misleading, and they can be very, very confusing.
Right.
Each country has different regulations. Some have very stringent ones. Some have none. But let's assume you're going to talk about California Chardonnay. The only way that you know that that bottle has 100% Chardonnay in it is if it says estate grown.
Right.
And if it's estate grown, then you're going to have 100% Chardonnay. Past that, the way the labeling laws work in the United States, as long as it has 75% of the named varietal, that's all that has to be in the bottle. So it could say, I don't know, say it says Kendall Jackson Chardonnay. That means that only 75% of the grapes in that bottle have to be Chardonnay. The other 25% can be a mix of, I don't know, Sauvignon Blanc, Semillon, whatever the winemaker finds handy. Anything that will fill up the rest of that. Does that make
sense?
Great. Yeah.
It helps a little bit. When you start looking at overseas, there's so many different ways to look at it that it's even hard to get it in the show. Perhaps Michael, since he tends to be the, I don't know, wordy one, can get into that on his blog next time.
Yeah, maybe I'll address that on the blog.
That's great. I know it's only an hour-long show, so we'll read about it later. But thanks for the advice. I really appreciate that. And I guess at the end of the day, it's the flavor that really counts. If we like the wine, it doesn't matter what it says on the label if we like it. That's the most important thing.
I think that hits home with a lot of people, and you see a lot of people believing that when they put brown bags either over their bottles or over their heads when it comes to the end of the day.
Thanks a lot. We enjoy the show.
Thanks,
okay,
Rex.
Thanks for being part of it. Yeah, you know, instead of a brown bag, I usually put a lampshade over my head.
That's only after your third or fourth bottle, Michael.
That's
that.
Right. That's right. Okay.
All right. Since everyone else seems to be wittier than we are, let's take a couple emails.
Okay.
Here is one from Darren in North Carolina. He writes, do you need to store wine at different temperatures in your refrigerator? Can you put chilled wine back in the fridge after it has been sitting out? Michael?
I don't know. I've never had any to put back into the refrigerator. I think, however, yes is the answer. You can put it back in after it's been sitting out. Now, what I would not recommend, though, is to take the wine out, put it back in, take it out again sometime, put it back in, because once you start changing the temperature of the wine inside the bottle, you start pushing the cork up and down, if there's a cork in it, and you'll get air in it, and you can really ruin a bottle of, like, champagne that way.
No, it's easy. Whatever you want to do, pretty much, once you've opened that bottle of wine, as long as you don't let it get up to 100 degrees, or if you don't let it get up to 90 degrees, you're fine. Try and keep it at a constant temperature if you can, but if not, don't worry about it.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of times, if I've got a little bit of red wine left, I'll put that back in the refrigerator.
Good place to start. Once again, I'm with you. I never have leftovers.
Yeah, right.
All right. Moving ahead, we have much more coming up on the show. We have another guest to talk to us about Hudson Valley Wines. And of course, you get to finally find out the answer for Vintage Vive. And of course, more of Laura and Michael. What more could you ask for?
You said Hudson Valley. Where is Hudson Valley?
You'll have to wait till after the break to find out.
Come on, Laura.
We will sell no wine before it's time.
The Wine Crush.
Hey-ya!
Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
I'm on a test track, riding in a Roush Mustang with Cooper Tires technical advisor Johnny Unser to learn why Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires.
Wow, feel that grip?
Yeah, I felt it. Cooper incorporates what they learn at the track into engineering high-performing, reliable, safe tires for whatever you drive on the street.
Okay, time to cut her loose.
We weren't already cutting her loose? Cooper Tires, don't give up a thing. For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Okay, seriously, I want out.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG, based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
When a legend like Carroll Shelby puts Z-Max in every car he owns, maybe you should too.
I know it works.
Z-Max with micro-lubrication reduces wear on vital engine parts and increases horsepower. If you're a custom engine builder or a do-it-yourselfer, Z-Max belongs in your car. Z-Max. Easy to use. One in your gas and one in your oil every 5,000 miles. Take it from Carroll Shelby.
I put my name on the line on that, and I mean...
Log on to ZMAX.com and find a retail performance partner. Z-Max. Performance you can feel.
From the vantage point, Mafatu saw 6 war canoes drawn up on the beach. But what held the boy's eyes in awful trance were the figures springing and leaping about the flames, darting, shifting, bounding toward the sky. The eaters of men. Cannibals. Firelight glistened on their oiled bodies, on flashing spears and bristling decorations. Mafatu watched the strange scene, powerless to move, and he felt doom itself breathing chill upon his neck. In that very instant, he heard a crashing in the undergrowth. 4 figures were tearing toward him through the jungle. He could see them now. He turned and ran blindly down the trail, slipping, sliding, stumbling, his breath all but choking in his throat. Only one thought gave him courage as he ran. His canoe ready and waiting. If only he could reach it before the savages overtook him. Explore new worlds. Find out what happens next by reading the book Call It Courage by Armstrong Sperry. For other great book ideas, visit literacy.gov. A message from the Library of Congress and the Ad Council.
And you're back with the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And it is time that we actually answered our vintage vibe. For those of you who have been diligently Googling, trying to figure out what year the Big Chill came out, when Washington played Miami in the Super Bowl, and to find out where Karen Carpenter died. Michael, do you have a guess on what year we're talking about?
You know, Laura, it was the early 80s, and I'm going to just take a guess, 1984.
You are almost there. It's 1983. And, of course, that's the year of this hit. I'll Be Watching You by the Police.
Okay. 83, that was a big year for me. But let me ask you something. You know, you're talking about The Big Chill. That is a really cool movie for people who might not have seen it before. And you know that little town that the whole movie took place in? Do you happen to know where that town is?
I do not, Michael. Enlighten me.
Beaufort, South Carolina. And I'll tell you, it is a cool-looking town. It looks just like the movie. And, if folks are traveling down the southeast coast of the United States, they should hit Charleston, then Beaufort, and then stop in Savannah and visit me.
All right, there we go. We have Michael and his unnecessary trivia. But for those of you looking at Vintage Vibe 1983, decent year in Burgundy, a decent year in the Loire Valley, and a fairly good year in California cabs. So when you're out looking at 83, that's what you should think of. Well, of course, we are talking about different wine regions, but we have never brought this region up on the show. We have covered the West Coast, but we have never truly talked with anyone from New York. So right now, we have Debbie Giaquindo. She is the director at Hudson Valley Wine Country, joining us here on The Crush. Debbie, welcome to The Wine Crush.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for calling in. So often we get tied up on the West Coast and we don't get to hear from our East Coast brethren as much as we'd like to.
Yeah, and you know, here in the East Coast, especially, you know, New York, we are a big producer of grapes.
Yeah,
throughout the state.
Absolutely, and I understand you've got a great thing going up there.
Yes, we do. We're in the Hudson Valley wine region, and we are the oldest wine region in America. We're home to the oldest winery in America and the oldest vineyard in America.
I see. What winery would that be?
The oldest winery in America is Brotherhood Winery, which is in Washingtonville, New York. And the oldest vineyard is at Benmaro Winery at Slate Hill Vineyards in Marlboro, New York, right in the Mid-Hudson Valley.
Wow. Well, Debbie, so what kind of grapes are they growing up there?
We grow all kinds of grapes. We grow regular European vinifera like Chardonnay, Merlot, Cap Franc. We also grow some hybrids like Sauval, which a nice dry Sauval Blanc reminds me of a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, and some different kinds of hybrids like that.
Hey, would you spell that for folks? Sauval.
Sauval, S-Y-E-V-A-L.
Okay, cool.
Well, it sounds like everyone up in Hudson Valley, you've got some great wineries, you're getting some AVAs. Tell us what's on the forefront in Hudson Valley. What are people doing? What's the trend up there?
People come up here and there's so much to see and do. They'll spend, you know, a day wine tasting, a day going to see historical venues. There is, this time of year especially, there's a lot of farm fresh things that you can do, apple picking, pumpkin picking, you know, really outdoorsy stuff. You can hike. You can go antiquing. There's the Rhinebeck Aerodrome. There's just a lot of things that people can do and take advantage of, as well as wine taste.
For the rest of you who want to go antiquing, you can actually just come to the studio and get Michael.
That's right. I'm signing autographs. Hey, but listen, besides my cute tart friend here, I wanted to ask you a question. Tell me where Hudson Valley is. If I've not been to Upper New York, what's it close to?
Hudson Valley is about an hour north of New York City.
Okay.
And an hour south of Albany.
Okay.
So it's a great day trip. You can go, you can drink great wines, you can do all the wonderful things that you mentioned, and you can get out of town for a bit.
Absolutely. A day, a weekend, a week. You know, you make of it what you may.
So we could send Michael up there for like a month.
You might not want to come back.
Hey, Debbie, you know what? I did spend a week in Albany in January one time, and I, after trying to dig my way out of about 3 feet of snow, I figured maybe I won't be going back there in the winter time again.
Actually, Mike.
Well, if you like snow, you definitely can come. I mean, the wineries are open in the winter as well.
Are they? And yeah. Let me ask you: does the snow protect the grapes or the vines at that point?
Well, I'll tell you, the winters, as long as we don't have too many days below zero,
right,
which can happen, the vines will be fine. What happens when we have a really cold snap and temperatures are below zero for a long period of time, it does hurt the vines.
Okay.
It'll kill them.
For our listeners who aren't familiar with Hudson Valley wines, what are some that you would recommend? What are some of your favorites from that area?
My favorites are a Bacco Noir from Benmaro Winery. And the Bacco grape, it's kind of like a smoky, it's a red wine, and it's kind of like got a smoky flavor to it. The Sauval Blanc, which is a French-American hybrid, I really like that dry. Some places make it sweet. In the region, you'll find wine anywhere from bone dry to sweet dessert wines, and you'll also find fruit wines.
Okay.
But I like the Sauval, a dry Sauval Blanc, and my favorite red is also a Cabernet Franc.
Okay.
Which is that region is really getting
well.
Known for.
Yeah, it grows really well here, and I like it with the nice spice on the end. Oh, wonderful.
Cool. Perfect. And give us the name of a couple of wineries up there that we should look for.
Well, obviously, Brotherhood Winery, which is the oldest winery in America.
Right, okay.
We have Benmaro Winery. We have Wycliffe Winery, Adair Vineyards, Rivendell Winery, Baldwin Vineyards,
wow.
Millbrook Vineyards, Clinton Vineyards.
Well, you definitely have a scope for all that. Hey, is there a website our listeners can go to so they could look up all the vineyards and everything great about Hudson Valley?
Absolutely. It's HudsonValleyWineCountry.org.
HudsonValleyWineCountry.org. All right.
Okay, well, we should put that on our website.
Absolutely. Yeah. After we duct tape your mouth.
We have a great tool on that website, which is a trip planner, which you can plan your trip to the wineries and print out the directions right there. It'll tell you, you know, point to point.
Perfect. A one-stop shopping for a whole bunch of travel. Well, Debbie, thank you very much for being part of the Crush. It's always nice to have so-called countries unheard of on the show. And we will have to give you a call back and see how harvest goes and see how much snow you actually went through this year.
Okay, sounds wonderful. I'll be waiting to speak with you.
Debbie, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Debbie.
Once again, you are listening to The Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
Continuously bringing you great advice for great new places around the country where you can find something new to put into your glass.
If one of you drinks this, you both will be fine. Happiness, comfort, and beauty divine.
You both will be fine?
I guess it means it'll affect Fiona, too.
The Wine Crush.
Bartender, please give me a drink of wine. Bartender, please give me a drink of wine. If you do that for me, it'll make me feel real fine.
There's a reason Roush Performance chooses Cooper Tires for their high-performance vehicles. Just ask Cooper Tires technical advisor, Johnny Unser.
Roush tunes vehicles to reach their absolute limits. They need tires that can handle those limits, from handling to durability to safety. That's why they choose Cooper. And that same race-bred technology goes into every Cooper Tire you buy, no matter what you drive.
For more information and to find a dealer near you, visit CooperTire.com. Cooper Tires. Don't give up a thing.
Hey-ya! Doug, are you okay?
Mark, I'm practicing my ninja moves so I can take on weeds with Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer.
Do you mean there are ninjas inside the Spectracide bottle?
Well, using Spectracide is like sending an army of tiny green ninjas to kill weeds and unwanted grass right down to the root. You see the result in as fast as 3 hours.
I see, Sensei. I'm heading over to Lowe's to pick up Spectracide Weed and Grass Killer with ninja fighting power.
Just remember, Mark, weeds can't hide from Spectracide.
Look, Steve, isn't that Jimmy Johnson over there?
Where?
Over there, in the lumber aisle.
Yeah, that's him.
Well, you said if you ever saw him, you'd ask him.
I'm not gonna ask him.
Go on, ask him.
I can't, it's embarrassing.
They say he's a really nice guy. I'm sure he'll do it.
All right, here goes. Excuse me, Jimmy?
Yes?
I feel a little funny about this, but I was wondering if I could ask you a favor.
Sure, what is it?
Would you come over and fix my fence?
Cobalt tools are so comfortable to use, once you start working with them, you'll never want to quit. Cobalt, the next generation of tough tools. Available only at Lowe's.
Looking for some good news at the gas pump? Chevy has 7 models that offer an EPA estimated 30 miles per gallon highway or better. From HHR with an EPA estimated 30 mpg highway, to the Aveo 5 with an EPA estimated 34 mpg highway, and Cobalt XFE with an EPA estimated 36 miles per gallon highway. Chevy's MVPs of MPG. Based on EPA segmentation. See your local Chevy dealer.
Have you ever lost a cat? And have you ever wanted to get your cat back after you lost it? Hi there, I'm Andrew Hoffman. I went on this website called InventNow.org. Then I decided to make an invention of my own. It's called the Lost Cat Magnet Invention. So you can get your cat back after you lost it. Just turn it on and lost cats stick to it. That's a good cat. If your cat was hiding up in a tree, it won't be up a tree anymore. It will be stuck to the lost cat magnet. And sometimes they fly toward you in the air. Just listen to one satisfied cat. See, that's proof. You should go to the InventNow.org website too. But just remember one thing. Don't do a lost cat magnet.
Anything's possible. Keep thinking. Get started on your own inventions or just play some games at InventNow.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, the National Inventors Hall of Fame Foundation, and the Ad Council.
It's The Wine Crush.
I got a letter. Another glass of wine.
Welcome back to the Wine Crush. I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And before we get too deep in our own cups today, let's recap a little bit where we've been. We've had a lot of fun. We have talked about Pinot Days coming up at Navy Pier in Chicago.
Right.
We have talked to Debbie Giaquindo. Sorry about that, Debbie, from the Hudson Valley, and heard a little bit about New York wines. And of course, we've been talking about our own fall wine experiences. But it's interesting, we get several emails from some certain listeners. Of course, we encourage all of you to email us. That's info@winecrush.com. But Debbie had mentioned something about having fruit wines up in Hudson Valley, which brings us to this email that I have from Ellen.
Please read it.
Ellen writes, I have seen apple wine in my local markets. Is this truly wine, and is it just seasonal? Well, Ellen, yes, it is truly wine. Michael's looking at me like he's going to come across the table.
Yeah.
But
no.
Go
ahead.
Wine is actually a beverage made from a fermented fruit.
Wrong. Wine is fermented grape juice.
Wine is made from a fermented fruit.
By definition, wine is fermented grape juice. Now, there is fermented apple juice, and it's called cider, and it's called hard cider. And it can be a lot of fun to drink, and you can catch a pretty good buzz off of it, and it's very tasty. But it is not wine. Wine is grape juice that's fermented.
Michael, as usual, with his whole age group, is stuck in denial when it comes to certain terms and definitions. So, Ellen, yes, apple wine does actually exist. For those of you who are wondering, so does boysenberry wine, so does strawberry wine, so does watermelon wine. It is any kind of alcoholic beverage that can be fermented entirely from a fruit. And so when you see it on your shelves, it's usually very, very seasonal. It is certainly not something you want to lay down in your cellar for a couple of years. It is not something that you want to hang on to, and it's not something that's going to appreciate much in value.
No, that's for sure. Boone's Farm comes to mind when you say fruit type of wine. So just remember, wine is fermented grape juice.
Ellen, bless your heart and bless his heart. I hope we have helped you one way or the other.
Yes.
All right. On the wine line right now, we have Lisa. Lisa, welcome to the Wine Crush.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Laura. Hi, Michael. How are you doing today?
We're doing great.
Good, good. Just a quick question. I've experienced this a few times, and I get really nervous when ordering wine in a restaurant, because I don't know how to properly taste it. Or do you swirl it? Do you sniff the cork? I see people doing different things. Tired of being so nervous just to have a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Well, Lisa, actually, I can commiserate with you. I get really nervous watching that bottle of wine, too, because the waiter's never fast enough. If he were faster, I wouldn't be as nervous and wondering where my next drink is coming from.
Yeah. Hey, listen, do yourself a favor. Don't sniff the cork. Sniff the wine itself just to make sure that it's good. Look at the cork. Okay, just look at the cork. If it's wet all the way through, the wine's probably not any good.
Yeah, nothing fancy, nothing pretentious. Just smell the wine. If it doesn't smell like wet cardboard, you should be in good stead.
Absolutely.
Lisa, thank you very much for calling The Crush. I hope the rest of our listeners have enjoyed the day as much as we have. And, of course, we look forward to hearing and talking to you next week. But until then, I'm Laura Lawson.
And I'm Michael Ambrose.
And just remember, in vino veritas, in wine, there is truth.